America tonight. A lot of people are feeling it right now. Some people already taking the week off. This is a big week off for some people to just extend it through Thursday, the Thanksgiving holiday, especially if they were traveling. And if they did do that and they were traveling back east, they're probably happy they did, because weather is the name of the game. It is like standing at the craps table. You know how we say that about stocks? Well, you can extend that to the weather. Right now on the East Coast, it's not looking great. 8 inches of snow in Buffalo. There's watches and warnings all over the place. They're talking about Thanksgiving really being a mess because of freezing rain and high, high winds. The Macy's Day Parade with 50 balloons. The winds so much of a factor that there's a chance they might ground the balloons because they can't have that. They've had somebody injured in the 90s, and they won't take a risk with that. So it's going to hit perhaps some of the travelers pretty hard, especially if you're leaving on Wednesday. The timing of the storm couldn't be worse, could it? You have people on the roads, over 44 million, they say. AAA estimates that. And it is one of the biggest, busiest single travel days of the year on Wednesday. So just be prepared for that. I was looking at the map. It was a terrible map along the East Coast. So I saw this map, and it's got two arrows. It says strong winds and then a whole line of heavy rain. Then that mix in between. Oh, it looks almost like an Oreo cookie. And then it's got the mix of the rain in between and the sleet and then the snow on the other side of it. That's never good to look at that. And they're saying those kind of conditions will be in Hartford and Boston and Portland, Maine. It'll be in Philadelphia, New Jersey. Not good, because it may be that with a combination of it, you get brutal gusts of wind on top of that. So that means airport delays. That means tree limbs come down and there's power outages and all of that. And especially with the rain areas, so Virginia and then further south too, that's some of where the rain is going to is gonna hit big time. In Pittsburgh, they're talking about a ton of snow there. I think just up and down that whole Northeast, I mean, when it's circled in red, giant red, and it says travel delays, I'm going to kind of trust them on this one since I looked at the weather patterns, unless something dramatically is altered in a couple of different degrees, direction. I think that that's pretty accurate. So if you are traveling, make sure you give yourself plenty of time. It's brutal when you add the wind. And now the airport, a lot of airports ground planes if you have enough of that. Where normally sometimes the plane would go up, but they're not going to do that if there's any doubt. I mean, if it's, you know, you're talking about gusts that could be 35 or more, then especially with the icing thing, yeah, you're definitely looking at delays. There's no question about that. Happy Turkey Day. So Turkey Day, I was thinking about this because I've got to do the whole turkey thing. I have to cook the turkey, and thinking, what's the best part about the Thanksgiving meal? And I mean, I guess it is the turkey, right? The turkey and mashed potatoes. Unless you don't eat meat, then you're just going to eat the other stuff or eat something else in place of it. And now more and more people are doing that. And I've said this before. We've actually done this on the show. You know, how do you cook the turkey? The traditional way? Are you frying it? Some people now are just like, forget it. They're so whipped. They just go and buy it. I think that the numbers of people going to the grocery store and getting the pre-made thing, or like the Boston markets or whatever, they're doing that. If they have a small to medium kind of group coming over, because it's especially if they're pounding it at work, they're not going to cook even if they like to. And even I noticed when I was in the grocery store the other day, you know, I think of my grandmother, how she had to cut the onions just right, and then you got to cut the celery, and then the bread is a big thing because it takes days. It's in the pan. You're frying out the bread. You would never get breadcrumbs. Now people just get everything pre-made. So they even have chopped up onions already and celery. So you can just skip that step. Just throw butter in a pan, boom, here it is. Throw it over top of the breadcrumbs. And because they know people are taking shortcuts if they can. Because they're doing the whole thing the way they used to do it would just take forever. It seemed like I remember my grandmother started planning the Thanksgiving dinner a week in advance. It's the same thing every time. But the whole thing from peeling massive amounts of potatoes and the preparing that whole turkey deal and staying up late and getting up early and, oh, the whole thing of a giant turkey and was there going to be enough and how many people and extra, we called it filling, but stuffing, extra stuffing is crazy how long it took. So we'll see with me. I have, as I'm speaking, a frozen turkey thawing in some water right now. So would have been better to just do the fresh thing, I think, than the frozen thing. I can't remember the last time I did a frozen turkey. It's been a very long time. So I'm obviously not going to be stuck in the elements this year as I have been in the past. As many of you will be in that situation that I was talking about with the weather, or if you're along the parade route or any of that kind of stuff, or maybe some of you are going to step out crazily for the Thanksgiving sales now, more even than Black Friday. Things kick off on Thursday, so people run from the table and run to get in line somewhere because they'll advertise sales on whatever it is, big screen, flat screen TVs. I think for some people that would still be big. Whatever the hot item is, whatever PlayStation thing, game, whatever that happens to be, it usually seems to be electronics, then those stores are now actually bragging that they're jammed on Thanksgiving night, and people do it where they're shopping until 2 or 3 in the morning. Some people, now because of the amount of stores that are open, and you see this all over the place. It's every nook and cranny. They do this. They just have everything ready, and they go out and shop, and that's it. Thursday after Thanksgiving, you're getting everything you need, and you are done. It's not a dragged out process. You are through by Friday, and usually it's an overnight process. Then you're going to bed and you're that's it. And then all you have to do is wrap them, send them, do whatever, which just seems so wild to me that you wouldn't kind of just do it along the way instead of wait until Thursday. I mean, isn't there a thing where you get tryptophan and you're exhausted from eating so much turkey and you have to, like, lay on the couch? Somehow some people are missing a step there, I think. All right, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas Brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. What an interesting story we have to tell you about. Steve Bevilacqua is in our virtual green room, and you're not going to believe what happened to him. First of all, he was hit by a car crossing the street, and cutting to the chase, he almost went to prison for it. The guy who ran him down was charged with nothing. So now you can imagine how he must have felt, and we're going to take his pulse in a second here. He spent a bunch of time in court fighting mandatory prison sentences for imaginary crimes. He's got a book called Kafka at the Beach. You love this. A layman's handbook for those falsely accused of felonies. Steve, first of all, wow, glad you survived that. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, Kate, thanks for having me on. This is great, man. Thank you.
So tell me what happened. Take us back to that day and then the shock of that, and then take us through what happened.
Okay, and be warned, it is a long twisted tale. I will keep this as simple and as unshocking as possible.
There you go.
But basically what happened was a Sunday morning, I stepped out of my apartment here in Venice Beach, and I was crossing the street at a crosswalk when I was, run down by this just road rage maniac. So I saw her coming, and actually, because I heard the screech of her tires, and I did jump out of the way. She didn't really, she didn't kill me, obviously. She just kind of knocked me down on my butt. I yelled, yo, at her, at which point she stuck her hand out the window, gave me the finger, and kept driving. But this woman, the driver was just so, crazed that she only, even though she fled the scene of an accident, she only fled about 150 feet up the street, and then tried to park. So basically then when, I just walked over, I was walking home and saw her, I was like, you just ran me down with your car. And that was the big mistake, because then she just completely exploded. They're screaming obscenity. She punched me. She just attacked me. This woman was like completely out of her head. Then she followed me through the streets, screaming at me for a good hour and a half. But okay, here's where it gets interesting, because by the time the police and the city attorneys were done processing all this, the woman who then the police report admits that she ran me down, gave me the finger and took off, then said, oh, but after all that, he tried to rob me. So, amazingly enough, the woman who ran me down gets charged with nothing. I get charged with felony string arm robbery, assault, theft, a whole long list of things, some of which came with mandatory prison sentences, which made the whole thing really a much bigger problem, actually. So I'm in court for a good 8 months, fighting for my freedom pretty much like every week, shelling out tens of thousands of dollars to for lawyers to keep me out of prison, because when you're facing a mandatory prison sentence, there's really no plea bargaining. You say yes to anything, the judge can't help you at all. They put you on a bus to prison. So, yeah, so basically finally managed to successfully fight that off in the most insane way. It was ridiculous.
Wait, I got to stop you there. We're going to tell everyone, because here is the big news, people. Judge Judy. You got redemption from Judge Judy? Are you kidding me?
I was saved by Judge Judy. Basically, yeah, the whole thing then played itself out again on TV where I was actually, no, this time I was vindicated. I love Judge Judy. I consider her, like, basically a role model for the rest of the justice system that they should be following, you know, very actively. And I consider her a modern-day Solomon, actually. I think she really is a return to what our justice system should be and definitely is not.
So did you turn to the – did you say, okay, something has to happen here, something has to give because I'm going out of my mind. I can't believe that I'm spending all this money. I'm in this situation. I could actually really go to prison. How did the whole Judge Judy thing happen in the first place?
Okay, so once I actually got the charges dismissed, and the book is very instructive. It's very funny, but it's also, God forbid, you or any of your listeners end up in this situation. But there's certain things that, you know, I learned the hard way that, you know, you can benefit from if it happens to you. One of which is the only way this thing came to a head in the actual criminal justice system is after months and months of just negotiation and badgering and bullying, I finally had to go before a judge, literally, and we all have a constitutional right to do this. I had to go between the little gates, stand before a judge, and say the words, I am asserting my right to a trial. Because they'll try to badger you into all kinds of things until you finally say, I want a trial, and I literally had to yell it. And then they have 10 days to either, like, try you or you're free. Of course, even with their, you know, basically maneuvers, it wasn't 10 days after that it was over. It was some time after that it was over. But I finally got free. I agreed to do, amazingly enough, court-ordered therapy, which was another fiasco in itself. But how Judge Judy came into it was then I decided, you know, to kind of make up some of the tens of thousands of dollars I was out by suing the driver. Not so much for running me down, but more for making deliberate misstatements to the police that cost me so much money. And then Judge Judy show found me on the docket, and they called. And so we all ended up there. And Judge Judy was, you know, the point of the book is maybe it's where you'd least expect it. You know, you think Judge Judy's just putting on a TV show. But actually, she was much more concerned with dispensing justice than our justice system. And I was, like, dumbfounded by that. She would, you know, for instance, okay, here was one of the things that made me finally run before the judge and scream, I want a trial. After about 7 months of regular court dates, we were in a hallway talking with a prosecutor. That's where everything happens in court, by the way. They send
right.
you out into the hall.
Yeah.
And that was when I realized, because the prosecutor kept making these statements that my lawyer and I were like, you must have this confused with something else. Like, he didn't know what he was talking about. And then came the really chilling moment that we realized we were 7 months into this, and this guy had never read the police report. He didn't know there were witnesses. He didn't know what had happened. He didn't know anything that he was talking about. And so that's when it was like, I've had it. We're done. And so I went before the judge and forced them to do something. On the other hand, Judge Judy, the first thing that Judge Judy did when we were in court or on her court set was insist that all paperwork, all reports, all everything be brought to her. And it was a lot. I mean, she referred to it very scornfully as voluminous. And it was a good big stack of paper. And she made us all stand there sweating bullets while she read every word And it was amazing. I loved her. And then she shoved it aside, and then the fireworks started. And then it was amazing. It was like a tornado of justice. And I got it good, too. I mean, she screamed at me first. And that was interesting, actually, because you know, all the bystanders are wondering, why did she yell at you like that? And then we still don't know. But our best guess is because she started out by yelling at me for a good 20 minutes. And so I was just babbling apologies to her. And, of course, they cut all that stuff out of the show. So when the actual episode begins, I'm just standing there looking completely shell-shocked.
Oh, yeah, of course. All that's gone. Yeah. Hey, Steve, what's interesting is, and we're speaking with Steve Bevilacqua, and he's telling us about his story, obviously, and what happened with Judge Judy. And what's interesting is you are a screenwriter. Please tell me that this is going to pop up somewhere. Someone is going to option this or something's going to happen. Because your story would make for a good segment or actually somewhere on the tube. I think this would be an interesting kind of story to see it, I don't know, fleshed out a little bit. Have you thought about that or talked to anyone about
actually,
that?
And thanks. Yeah, I think it would be something good. Actually, one producer has already approached me, but it was right after the book came out. The book is pretty new. And I asked, I was like, listen, let's hold off on that. Let's let it have a life as a book first. And then, sure, I think this will end up on a screen somewhere. I hope so. Although it's going to be weird because I am a screenwriter, but I don't know that I'd write this one because, you know, the main character is me, and that's just kind of weird.
When after you get through the Judge Judy thing and then you feel that redemption and everything, and then you decide, you know, this is just crazy, so I'm going to put together this book. And I think when more people that are probably listening to this and as your story gets out even more, I guarantee there are other crazy things that have happened to people that they just cannot believe that the script was flipped and they're on the other side of that. Have you heard that from any people that have said anything to you?
You know, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because basically once you are, when you are false, once you become known as the guy at the party who's just been falsely accused of something, it's funny. People come forward and tell you everything, like lots of things. What happens when you're when you're under the gun, when you're on the wrong end of the false charges, what happens is people always confide in you things that they've done and gotten away with, which gets really crazy. I mean, you know, it really, I guess they figure you're no threat because no one believes you. What are you going to do? You know, you've been falsely accused.
Right.
Yeah, I had people pull me aside to confess, you know, about the time they totaled a bunch of parked cars and stuff. You know, and so, yeah, that was crazy. And that you do become the great confessor for everyone.
Well, this is a great book for, I think, anyone to read. And again, it's called Kafka at the Beach, a layman's handbook for those falsely accused of felonies. Good luck with that. Pick it up on Amazon.com. Steve, happy Thanksgiving.
It's on Facebook page, Kafka at the Beach on Facebook, if people have more questions. And if anybody has any questions about how to fight off false charges, I am the, like, you know, basically begrudging expert in this right now, and I'm happy to help. I've had people ask me about stuff like that.
I love that. Stevie B, thanks so much.
All right, thank you, Kate. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV.
a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
With Andrew Szabo. He is a marketing chef, a professional speaker, and a positioning, branding, and messaging strategist. Andrew, big deal, obviously, with Iran and the bargain that was struck in Geneva. A lot of people are pulling this apart and saying, wow, there are a lot of holes in this whole thing, trying to shut down nuclear ambitions with the new president and the country of Iran, because there's some things that were missed in this, including immediately stopping the sanctions that were obviously working. What's your take on it?
Well, I think this is Thanksgiving. This is certainly a turkey of a deal. We've talked about how in the past few months that our diplomatic policy, our foreign policy of appeasement has not worked. And I've even talked about sometimes it looks like Chamberlain in Munich. And this is now just the turkey deal of them all, because there's nothing in this deal that is, when you say it, you use the word bargain. It's a bargain deal, all right, for Iran, because there's nothing there to hold them to the deal. We're talking about the Secretary of State saying we're going to get, what do we get out of the deal? The destruction of 20% uranium. By destruction, what they're actually going to do is take that 20% enriched uranium that's going to be turned into an oxide, so it's inoperative. That process is completely chemically reversible, which means Iran holds on to its 20% uranium and can turn it back into active stuff anytime it wants. I mean, even when you looked at, and this deal is actually worse than Munich, what happened with Chamberlain, because Britain and France's capitulation to Nazi Germany in 1938, you know, has long been a byword for, you know, moral and diplomatic foolishness. But there was actually one good thing about it, because the reality is the Allies were not ready to fight the Nazis at that time in September of 1938. So they had a year so basically ended up buying time to rearm. In 1 year, they bought time to rearm. So in 1939, they could go to war. In 2013, basically Obama gives Iran the time to go nuclear. So that's the bargain deal for Iran. I've also been reading today that those people involved in the Iranian hostage crisis back in 1998 say this is just foolishness. You can't trust the Iranians. Why would we trust them to do this? There's no deal here. It's a turkey of a deal. It's Thanksgiving, and this turkey needs to have its throat come.
I agree. And here's the other thing. There were some, one of the big things I said, there's a lot of holes we could, it would take us, and I've been doing it now, for the past, you know, couple of shows, but even before that, because we've talked about Iran a lot on America Tonight and had all kinds of people on the show to talk about it. Andrew, experts who live there and whatnot, and nuclear scientists even talking about developing a nuclear weapon and whatnot. But one of the things that was missed is the fact that there's a pastor who's in prison over there wrongfully, and there's also an ex-FBI agent who's a businessman who is also in that same situation, and none of this was thrown out. Just immediately give the sanctions back. Okay, we lift the sanctions. You get all the access to the money that was frozen in the banks, the oil money and everything else. But yet nothing was done, even though Obama just weeks ago was fighting for this pastor, trying to get that put on the table. And then how come they walk away and they didn't make this as part of it?
Again, it just shows the ineptitude of our diplomatic policy, that we don't even ask a simple thing like that. I think the Iranians would be quite happy to throw that into the mix. They were getting the better end of the deal by far. And they're getting a lot. We're getting basically nothing. The very least we could have asked for is for the release of the pastor. I totally agree with the UK. And here's another thing that I think is just really starting to emerge, is another, just to say how much of a turkey of a deal this is the Saudis are actually pretty ticked off. They claim they were kept in the dark by the Western allies over this Iranian nuclear deal, and now saying they're going to strike out on their own, because that could, you know, allowing the Iranians, I mean, the reality was the other Middle Eastern powers there essentially using the West to some degree to play the bad guys. Well, now I understand a senior advisor to the Saudi royal family accused the Western allies deceiving the kingdom in striking that nuclear accord without the Saudis really knowing about it. So now they're going to pursue a more independent foreign policy. So one of our biggest allies there is all of a sudden very ticked off at us. So in that, again, that attempt of appeasement. And I think this is also just partly just a deal so we can distract ourselves from what the domestic issues of Obamacare. That's also what I think a lot of the press is now. Is this really a deal? And is this just simply smoke and mirrors to take our attention off of the another turkey of a fiasco of the administration? So, yeah, totally agree with you there.
You know, it's interesting you say that about is a smoke and mirrors to deflect Obamacare, because here in America Tonight, the listeners are so focused on what's happening, because they're calling us with their personal stories, and they're horrific about cancellations, tripling the policies. One woman called us from Michigan, and Andrew, she said, you know what, I don't have cable TV. I've gone without because I feel like it's my responsibility to cover my own insurance, and I didn't want to take anything from the government. And she said now, because of the Affordable Care Act, what's happened to her is her insurance went from, and she basically had catastrophic coverage, but that was okay because she watched what she ate and said she was pretty healthy, went from 150 to over 400 for the premiums because of the switch in the regulations. And she was upset, saying she doesn't, for the first time, she's considering that she has to take what she was calling kind of the handout and didn't want to do it. And that's the kind of things that we're hearing from people. So I think the biggest turkey of all has been the rollout of healthcare.gov and what it really contains and all the lingering issues surrounding it, both with the website, of course, and everything else.
Absolutely,
personally.
Yeah.
Personally, with everybody's insurance. And here's the question. So the question is, they say it's going to be, they're going to meet their self-imposed November 30th deadline, but yet it's still not the help, just the website itself. And you're a strategist, you're a marketing guy. It's still with the problem with the website, that it still goes back to the website, that they can't even get that right, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, it's what's the message you're sending? We're sending the message that we're inept at even putting up a website, you know, to put this legislation in place. I mean, this is the backbone that's going to make this legislation work. Without the website, the legislation falls apart. And then people are now starting to read what that legislation says. And it was all in there in the first place that they even predicted there was going to be several million. They were saying, I think, between 40 and 70% were going to lose their coverage. It was right there in the legislation. Mm. And now there's millions scrambling. And this is, and we, what we predicted 2 weeks ago, we said that those employee health campaigns, they're going to stop canceling next year. And sure enough, there was the Manhattan Institute, American Enterprise Institute, said that about approximately 157 million employee health care policyholders are going to lose their insurance in 2014. That's going to dwarf the numbers that we're, it's almost double what we're seeing right now. So it's going to end up tripling. But you're going to have, it's 157 million plus the 80 million. Now you're looking at, 230 million, 240 million people scrambling to get coverage to a website that's not working. I mean, the whole thing is destined to collapse.
Yeah, I agree. We keep agreeing on everything, but it's obvious. And here's the thing too, what's happening and so sad is that families are really being hit by this because the family portion of an individual's insurance has skyrocketed. So even if the company says, okay, listen, we can keep insuring you under Obamacare, but now the family portion goes much higher, so then it becomes almost unaffordable anyway. And you're really stuck. What do? Yeah. You have to insure your family. You've got kids. What if something happens? What are you going to do? So people are stuck at this point. And I think this, I don't know, to me, this is maybe me taking it a step further, but I think the end game was to make this ultimately a single payer country. That's what I think that the end game is with this, because of all these problems and what's ultimately going to happen to the avalanche of people. It's not going to be sustainable. What do you think?
I think that's very possible. I think very early on that a number of people did feel that was really the strategy behind the legislation. So, in other words, that by creating an unsustainable, by creating legislation that was strategically unsustainable, would allow the government to step in and say, okay, fine, we're taking over and basically socializing the whole system. Because the insurance companies can't handle it. There's complete chaos in the marketplace.
Yep.
And therefore, they feel that can therefore control it is the government. And, of course, by that time, we've now had 3 or 4 years of this. You forget, wait a minute, the government that created the problem in the first place. So you create the problem, and it's sort of like a simple sort of metaphor is like saying, well, yeah, let's dig a hole in the road, and now we have to come in and fill the council. Your local town council now has to come in and fill that hole. Wait a minute, you created the hole in the first place. Okay, so you're creating the need by creating the chaos in the first place.
Yep, good analogy.
And a number of people felt that was the strategy all along, and
yep.
I think that could very well play out like that.
Yeah, I agree. Happy Thanksgiving, Andrew Sabo, Peel Back the Onion.
Thank you.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say, show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Today is upon us, the week. It's really Thanksgiving week, and we have American political history expert Clint Hackney, TRN's Tales of American Political History. Really, really good stuff. You hear the program. And Clint, thanks for coming on with us. It is Thanksgiving week, as I said. And, you know, when you're a kid, you hear about the Pilgrims and the start of Thanksgiving. But really, when was the true Thanksgiving Day established? Was it George Washington, or was it the woman that everybody says begged Lincoln to do it?
Well, the first time that it was mentioned as a national holiday or a national day of Thanksgiving, that was George Washington, that didn't really go. It didn't last too long. It was regional. All he did was a presidential proclamation in his first year as president, 1789. But later, I gotta say, the hero of today's Thanksgiving in America has got to be, Sarah Hale. I would call her the mother of Thanksgiving. And she's from New Hampshire. She was a novelist and a poet. Her best claim to fame was that she wrote the poem "Mary Had a Little Lamb," and we all knew that that rhyme when we were young children.
Mm-hmm.
But she was persistent. She spent 17 years trying to convince Congress and the executive branch that we should set aside a day of Thanksgiving in the autumn. You know, when she was trying to do this, which was a period from 1846 to 1860, we only had two national holidays in America. We had George Washington's birthday in February. We had Independence Day on July 4th. So we had a winter holiday and a summer holiday, and Sarah Hale, she wrote five different president's letters, the four before Lincoln, and she also organized a letter-writing campaign, a pretty good lobbying effort for the 1840s and 1850s. She organized a letter-writing campaign to congressmen, and it was Abe Lincoln that finally paid some attention to it, and his purpose didn't really work out, but at least he got it started. His proclamation, he proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving, and he did it in the middle of the Civil War, 1863, and he invited the Confederacy to participate in, hey, you know, let's take a day off here and give thanks for what we have in the Confederacy and the Union. But the Confederacy, they didn't really pay attention to that. But that's really how it began, was with Lincoln's declaration of, for a national holiday.
When did it become that it just become, that it just became Thanksgiving? That was it? You were, of course, now we could talk about what's the commercialization, and we will in a second, but really, if you go back to, as you were talking about, her letter writing in the 40s and the 50s, then finally there's Thanksgiving, and then really people just, boom, they're taking the day off, and then it becomes, you know, this holiday where, I don't know, was it a mandatory day off, or it just depended on what you did for a living back then?
No, it took a long time after Abraham Lincoln's declaration. There was no consistency, and it remained regional. The South had a hard time coming along. You know, Andrew Johnson, who was Lincoln's successor, he declared Thanksgiving Day to be in December. He set a date in December. He was followed by President Grant, who put it back in November. And he put it in on the last day of November, Grant did, and that kind of stuck. So we had some consistency from Grant up to Franklin Roosevelt, but it was not until the early 1900s that the southern states really started paying attention to it, and by the 1930s, it was observed nationally. But it still was inconsistent. Some states would have their own date picked out, or maybe something different than the Thanksgiving we know today. Actually, the commercialization of it that you're mentioning, that really sort of helped get us a unified national holiday that we observe today.
So in the beginning it was good because that's what got the ball rolling, in other words.
Right. That's right. You know, Christmas shopping was back in those days, during the Depression, that's where the trend started, that like the day after Thanksgiving you go out and start shopping for Christmas. And so the retail, it just so happened in 1939, which was still part of the Depression years, it so happened that the last day of Thanksgiving, the last day of November was a fifth Thursday. And so there was going to be a much shorter period of time, but be a 1 week shorter period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so it'd be less fewer days to shop. And so the retailers, with some effective lobbyists, lobbied Franklin Roosevelt to move it back up 1 week from November 30th to November 23rd. And they did a good job. He did that. He did a proclamation changing after 70 years of having the last Thursday to be Thanksgiving. Roosevelt moved it up. But that caused, the reason that was a catalyst is it caused a lot of controversy. Some states did it on the, had Thanksgiving on the 30th. Some states did what Franklin Roosevelt had declared and used the 23rd. Two states, Colorado and Texas, they did it. They had two Thanksgivings. They did it on the 23rd, and they did it again the next weekend. So, not a bad idea. But it spurred discussion. And in 1941, Congress finally passed a law declaring the fourth Thursday in November as a national holiday of Thanksgiving.
And, that,
and I might point out, especially since my home state is Texas, I'd point out that Texas did not comply with that until 1956.
And so, of course.
Well, so it really took until, since 1956, we have had a unified national holiday of Thanksgiving.
What about the turkey? The turkey, you know, the whole lore goes back to Pilgrim days, and then fast forward all the things we just talked about with the actual Thanksgiving. Was it right from the beginning about the turkey? You had the turkey and the mashed potatoes and stuffing and all of that?
I don't think so. There's not much documentation that the Thanksgiving feast at Plymouth, in Plymouth, Massachusetts, really took place, although it may have, probably did occur, but there's, it really is a story passed down, and there are a few letters that are written that mention that Thanksgiving at Plymouth. And it's not really a unique holiday to the United States. The religions all over the world have days of Thanksgiving, or they have harvest celebrations. Some of them fast, some of them feast. There are other nations today, Canada, Japan, and others that have some type of celebration in the autumn, usually having to do with harvest time. Sarah Hale, she got into the talking about food. She, in her letters to the presidents, she would talk about pumpkin pie and the autumn air and the great weather in the fall. And she did mention in one of her letters, stuffed turkeys. I don't know. Maybe that's how it got started.
Yeah, I don't really know. Maybe that's what happened. Clint Hackney, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Great history lesson on the origins of Thanksgiving. We'll have to have you back on again. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.